Governor Scott's first term is up next year. So far, one Democrat has actively been campaigning to take him on next year. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Nan Rich served in the Florida Senate from 2004 to 2012. Her last 2 years in office, she served as a Senate Minority Leader. She also served in the House from 2000 to 2004. Now she has her eyes on the executive branch. As part of our occasional newsmaker series, please say hello to Democratic candidate for governor, Nan Rich. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you, Carson. Glad to be here.
So you have the luxury at this point pretty much to be running against Governor Scott. How long do you think your luck's going to hold out?
I actually have no idea, but I'm assuming that there will be a primary. But the truth is, you said, in my opinion, the correct thing. I'm running against Rick Scott. Whoever the Democratic nominee is will be running against Rick Scott. So that's what I'm spending my time doing.
Now, we have a lot of issues to cover here, but first, a little bit of politics, if you'll indulge me. I mean, you're a Democrat trying to run for a statewide office in Florida, and that in itself is a bit of news. In recent years, your party has not had much luck with that. So let me start with a multiple choice question, Nan Rich. Is the Florida Democratic Party, A, in disarray, or B, badly in disarray?
I have to have another choice.
So you is the party having a lot of trouble? A lot of Democrats think so.
Well, I think, you know, there's new leadership at the party, head of the party now. And I think there's always an adjustment when a new leader comes in. I think that the focus has been on fundraising, which is very important for the new head of the party, Allison Tant. And I think a lot of attention is being paid now to recruitment of candidates, both statewide candidates and state Senate and state House candidates, which I think is incredibly important because we actually did leave some openings last time where there were legitimate opportunities for Democrats to win state Senate or state House seats. So we have to do a good job of recruiting people to run for those seats.
Well, it seems like the Democratic Party has been sort of stuck on nominating moderates in recent years, the last three gubernatorial candidates, each a moderate from Hillsborough County, by the way. We had Jim Davis, the late Bill McBride, and Alex Sink. Do you think there's too much focus on moderates?
Well, I believe that the Democratic Party should nominate someone who represents the core values and principles of the Democratic Party. And I believe that that should be a more progressive person at this point. I agree with you. We have nominated three moderate candidates and all excellent candidates. I have, you know, I've worked for every one of them. But sometimes when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, it's time to think about a change. And I would suggest that a progressive candidate from the South Florida area, where we have the largest number of registered Democratic voters, would be a good change to make. And I'm obviously offering myself as that candidate. There may be other progressive candidates, but right now I'm out there carrying that mantle around the state of Florida, and I'm very proud to be doing that. I think that the progressive movement within the Democratic caucus is, you know, making great strides. I was at a meeting of the caucus where they were developing their principles and their positions on many, many issues, from women's reproductive rights to gun control, to sensible gun laws, to education policy. And I think that there is, as I said, I think there's a move in this state in that direction. So those are my core principles, and I'm sticking with them.
Now, you have not been able to raise a whole lot of money up until now, your campaign. Some are blaming Democratic donors just kind of sitting back and waiting to see what Charlie Crist will do or what Alex Sink will do. Do you think the big Democratic donors are holding out, and why do you think they are?
Well, I think there is certainly an unsettled nature to the question of whether there will be a primary and who will be in it. And I think people are – there are some people on the sidelines. But I will tell you, I have had over 200 visits around the state, events around the state in the past – over the past year. And people are energized and excited about a progressive woman running for governor. And they are stepping up to the plate in more ways than one. First of all, obviously, they are great campaigners, particularly the women around the state who are energized. They are great campaigners, but they're also becoming donors. And I will tell you, I've raised quite a bit of money, but it's in smaller amounts. It's not like the governor, who is raising money hand over fist from special interests. That's not where my base is. My base has to do with the people of Florida and going out and meeting those people and building a strong infrastructure and, by the way, also raising money. But it's a kind of a two-tier strategy.
Now, you might see this differently, but from an outside observer, your party seems hell-bent at the very least on ignoring you, and at the worst, on sabotaging your campaign. We're not hearing a lot from incoming minority leadership in Tallahassee, Daryl Roussan. You were snubbed at the Jefferson Jackson dinner back in June, which is, of course, sort of a coming out party for candidates. And this has been red meat for Republicans. So where is all this coming from?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, I think the party, the Democratic Party is quite different than the Republican Party when it comes to primaries. I know when I was the Democratic leader and recruiting our candidates in 2010, we don't get involved in primaries. And the Republican Party heavily gets involved in primaries. So that's a big difference. I don't really expect that the party will be supporting me in a primary because, you know, we don't know who else will be in that primary. So I understand that. As far as the Jefferson Jackson dinner, I think that was a mistake. I think it was wrong of them, and so do people all over the state of Florida. The truth is that the media attention I got as a result of not being able to speak at that event was phenomenal, and it has fueled actually my campaign and the increase of my name recognition, and the latest poll that came out several weeks ago for the first time had me in the plus column 10 points over Governor Scott. So I think that was a decision that was made by the party. I think it was an error, but I think it was an error that ended up being quite in my favor.
Party chairwoman Allison Tant's leadership has been called into question recently. She plugged away at on behalf of a Democratic candidate for CFO, only to have him drop out after he filed for bankruptcy three times. That came out in the news. Arguably not what you want in a CFO. Should Allison Tant resign?
No, I don't think Allison Tant should resign. As I said, she is a new party chair. No, she has been an excellent, excellent fundraiser over the years for the party. This is a new position for her. And I think, you know, it can be said that there are growing pains in any new position. And she will come out of this, I believe, as a very strong leader for the party.
Now, many observers say it's just a matter of time before Charlie Crist sort of jumps in officially in this race. So what will your strategy be if that happens? You know, Charlie Crist, His Democratic bona fides were called into question back during the DNC. Many Democrats kind of suspicious of him. What is your take on that? How will that affect your campaign?
You know, as I mentioned before, I'm a true Democrat. I have been a Democrat all my adult life since I registered to vote. And I've been involved in my community activism has been around many of the issues that I deal with or have dealt with in the legislature, whether it's, you know, women's issues, environmental issues, public education issues, health care. And I have a record. I have a set of credentials, and I believe they're very solid
But you would say Charlie Crist is not a progressive.
Certainly his record to date would show that he's not a progressive. Now, I believe that actions speak louder than words. And I believe that if Charlie does come in and to a Democratic primary, he'll have his set of credentials and I'll have mine. And the Democratic voters in a Democratic primary will make the determination of who they best think represents their values.
If Charlie Crist is the nominee or perhaps another progressive is in the race, would you accept a role as lieutenant governor?
I have told, you know, many people that have asked me that question that I'm running for governor of the state of Florida.
Well, you know, many voters care about other things like issues rather mm-hmm. than politics, and we've got a lot to explore as we continue. This is Florida Matters, a newsmaker special, Democratic candidate for Governor Nan Rich. There's more about Florida politics and the issues at WUSFnews.org. Click on the Florida Matters link, and we encourage you to weigh in on our Facebook page. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters, a newsmaker special. My guest is Democratic candidate for Governor Nan Rich. You told an audience in St. Augustine recently that Republicans in Florida have lost focus on women's rights, children and family issues, public education, and health care. There's a lot of ground to cover here, so let's get to as many issues as possible. Okay. Obamacare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. big issues before the legislature this year. Governor Scott, he said he was okay with accepting federal money for Medicaid. Democrats accuse Republicans in Florida of working to defeat Obamacare while physically hurting Floridians. Now, do you believe that Governor Scott, Will Weatherford, Don Gates actually want to hurt Floridians?
I don't think that anybody wants to hurt Floridians, but the strong ideological bent that has been going on with the governor for 5 years against the Affordable Care Act is a fact. Before he became governor, he was opposed to the Affordable Care Act. You know, when someone says they're okay with Medicaid expansion, as he did at the beginning of the session, after all these years of being opposed to any implementation of the Affordable Care Act, you have to do something about it. You have to show leadership. I don't believe the governor showed any leadership. He did nothing. He did not meet with Speaker Weatherford or the Senate president to sit down and try and work out a compromise, something where we could draw down $51 billion. That's a B with a B. $51 billion of federal money that is our money. It's our share of Medicaid expansion. It would ensure the estimates are 1.2 million Floridians. So they may not want to hurt Floridians, but they are hurting Floridians by not allowing 1.2 million to gain health care. And in the course of it, the devastation that can happen to some of our hospitals, because what's happening is the subsidies are going away from the hospitals because those subsidies that were given by the federal government for uninsured or uncompensated care, those subsidies are supposed to be taken over by the insured, now over 1 million insured Floridians who are being covered through Medicaid expansion. Well, if you don't do either, one goes away, you don't take the other, you're causing an incredible, really devastation for hospitals, particularly Safety Net, and your children's hospitals that have over 70% Medicaid patients.
Now, your critics will say that an insurance card does not guarantee good health. They'll point to that New England Journal of Medicine study that found Medicaid does not improve health outcomes. Expanding Medicaid does not fix the problem of rising costs, much mm-hmm. like making student loans more available doesn't really drive down the mm-hmm. cost of college. And in Arizona, where a Medicaid expansion took place 8 years ago, the predicted savings evaporated and the cost to the state quadrupled. And you would say what?
I would say, first of all, that study has been debunked. And I can tell you one thing. From serving in the legislature for 12 years, I never had anybody come into my office or call the office and say, I hate my Medicaid. All they wanted to do was get on Medicaid to be able to have health care. Now, as far as Arizona, why then has the governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, decided, and she fought hard against her legislature and was able to bring Medicaid expansion to Arizona? I think it speaks for itself. She realizes she doesn't want to give up all of the money that Arizonans have paid to the federal government in taxes, in the form of taxes. She wants to get her fair share back for Arizona. Well, we should be doing the same thing here. And in addition, the governor constantly talks about jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, the University of Florida has a study to show that if you take Medicaid expansion and you have all these additional people getting health care, you need additional health care providers, and that we would have approximately 120,000 new good-paying jobs in the state of Florida, not the kind of jobs that are, you know, part-time or low-paying, but people that have to be trained to be professionals in the healthcare industry.
Well, let's talk about jobs and the economy. You have said Florida is heading in the wrong direction, and you've accused Rick Scott of running Florida like a CEO. Those were your words. And some would
actually, I said like a business.
Like
but,
a business. Okay, right. Regardless, mm-hmm. why not? I mean, some would say he should be a CEO mm-hmm. or running it like a business. How should the governor be running the state?
I think the governor should be running the state with an understanding that this is not a dictatorship. We have three branches of government, co-equal branches of government. And I think that that's been part of the problem with his administration is that he believes he doesn't have to talk to the legislators and understand the legislative process. There are many areas where if he had met with legislative leadership, and the leaders are of his own party, so he has a much easier time than I had as the minority leader, the Democratic minority leader, having to go across the aisle and work with Republican colleagues in the Senate, which I did on many occasions, to either pass or defeat legislation. Now, I think that's part of his role, but I think he has a problem with that ability to work with them and to treat them or see them as equal partners in this.
So a Governor Nan Rich would not be so much of a dictator, as you said, but somebody mm-hmm. who would try to build consensus or give and take, compromise? Is that
what
you're saying?
That's what I've done in my legislative career for 12 years. I was the Democratic leader. We had 12 Democrats out of 40 state senators. So, you know, you don't have to be a math genius to figure out. You have to work with people across the aisle.
CNBC did a study of the 50 states and their economies and found that the top 14 states whose economies, who had the best economies, were all led by Republicans, mm-hmm. except for Colorado. Republicans say excessive taxes and regulation get in the way of growth. What are business leaders saying to you about what they want?
When you talk about business leaders, I think about just in general the people of Florida. I mean, what do the people of Florida want?
Well,
the people of Florida, and this goes for business leaders, they want good, strong, quality public education. That is not what this administration or this legislature has done. They want health care for all people. That goes for business people. That goes for people in general in the state of Florida. They want, you know, a strong infrastructure. They want to be able to have, for instance, in this area, a high-speed rail. You get on the I-4 and you're in parked traffic all day long.
Are they talking about infrastructure over things like lower taxes and less regulation? Because businesses want to be able to grow relatively
right.
unimpeded, and that creates jobs, and I believe that's what folks are looking for.
Right. And I think people do talk about less regulation, and I don't think that Democrats are opposed, or I am not opposed. I was a small businesswoman. My husband and I owned small business. I grew up in that. My parents and my husband's father all were small business owners. So I am very familiar, and I have dealt with it as a small businesswoman, some of the regulations, and I understand and certainly would push to reduce regulation where it was possible. But I have people coming to me all the time and saying, well, we've changed regulations, we've cut funding for inspectors for, you know, restaurants or things that have to do with health and safety of people. There's a balance between cutting regulation and making sure that you are protecting the public. I look at Department of Children and Families as a perfect example. The cuts that have gone on there, where monitoring of programs for the department has decreased, and, you know, over the last 4 to 5 months, we have had 20 children die, all known to the Department of Children and Families. So there is a balance of being able to reduce regulation, to reduce oversight, but yet protect the health and well-being of people. We can get on to the environment. Some of what's been done is way overboard over the last 3 years in terms of cutting regulations, growth management. When you look at the laws that have been rolled back that were put there during the Reuben Askew years, it goes too far.
My guest is Democratic candidate for Governor Nan Rich. You were quoted by Sunshine State News, and this is a while back. This was 2004, but you said that we've had a lot of tax cuts in the state. Maybe we don't need any more. Would tax cuts have any chance in a Nan Rich budget?
Right now, I would say that I'm talking about how we can provide strong, critical public services to people. So I would start with public education. We have reduced our funding to public education, even though the governor wants to say that we have increased. Yeah, we decreased and then we increased it by less, and it's still below the 2007 funding levels. So my question would be, you know, do we want to leave 75,000 children on waiting lists for childcare? Do we want to leave 22,000 people waiting for community care for the elderly so they don't have to go into nursing homes? I think you need to look at the services and needs in the state of Florida. And we have cut and cut. I think now we need to look at having the proper resources in place to cover these needs. I have no problem with providing tax incentives, things that produce jobs. But I have to say, a lot of business leaders have said to me, you know what, we didn't ask for any more tax cuts. We're okay. Leave us alone. Let us do our business. And that's kind of would be my attitude.
When it comes to education, you were opposed to the so-called parent trigger bill, which would have given parents more of a say about what should be done with the failing public school. Critics called it a thinly veiled attempt to turn things over to for-profit charter schools.
Management companies, yes.
If a public school is failing, why not give parents the option to do something about it?
Mm-hmm. We already do in this state. We already do. We have 5 turnaround options in the state of Florida, and one of them includes allowing parents to go to their school board and ask for a school to become a charter school. The difference is that bill was talking about for-profit management companies coming in and taking over a failing school. As I said, we already have those options. I am not opposed to charter schools. I have in my district, I had a wonderful city charter school district in Pembroke Pines. My sense is that we have the mechanism there. This was an attempt to privatize public schools.
This is Florida Matters. My guest is Nan Rich, Democratic candidate for governor. Tuition in general, universities say they're hurting. You know, the governor has constantly said no tuition increases. Would you allow higher tuition at the state's universities?
I think tuition has gone up for the last several years, not this past year, but before that, I believe 15%. I'd have to check the numbers on that for several years. We need to sit down with the universities and really figure out what the issues are and what the needs are. I listen to the university presidents, talk to them, and many of them say they need to have, you know, additional support. Now, we could look to the legislature and see what the legislature can do. Because I can tell you in public education, when I started in the legislature in 2000, 60% of funding for public schools came from the legislature and 40% from local property tax. Today, it is reversed and more. I think we need to take a look at that. You know, you talked about, you know, do we need more tax cuts? You know, do we need more tax cuts or do we need to make sure that our young people are able to get a college education?
By the way, when you were in the legislature, there was that tiff over who has the power to over tuition, board of governors or the legislature.
Right.
Now that you aspire to the executive branch, what is your thought on that? Should it be the legislature or the board of governors?
Mm-hmm. There have been examples of the legislature getting involved and doing things that were not according to a long-range plan. And that concerns me about passing, creating schools, doing things that have not been part of an overall plan for the state of Florida. So I do think that there is a reason why we have a board of governors, and you know, many of those things should be left to the board of governors.
You've said that Florida's recent changes to election law not only led to the long lines on election night, but in your words, represented the effort to disenfranchise African-American voters, with Rick Scott and his right-wing cohorts in the legislature pushing through restrictions and so on and so on. Are you saying that voter ID laws are racist?
I would say a lot of what states are doing have to do with those people that don't have as much access to the system. And unfortunately, this happens to hit the African-American community. It hits immigrant communities, college students, and they're typically Democratic voters. So
what is your proof that it has done that, that it's hit those communities?
Well, because we know about the reduction in the early voting days in our state. We went from 14 days to 8 days.
Which affects all voters. But
well, it affects all voters, but more Democrats early vote. That's a fact. So if you reduce early voting days, you're reducing Democratic voters. And fortunately, we worked very hard. You started out this program talking about, you know, running for governor and how Democrats, you know, don't win statewide. Well, I have to remind you that Barack Obama won twice, two elections back to back. I think that there was a direct attempt to try and reduce the number of Democratic voters coming out to the polls. And the organizing that went on overcame a lot of that.
Well, Floridians care a lot about the personality of their governor. And outside of South Florida at this point, I don't think a lot of Floridians really know who Nan Rich is. How do your friends, and maybe more importantly, how do your critics describe you?
Actually, I think both critics and supporters would say that I'm kind of a policy wonk. I'm a very substantive person when it comes to issues. You can see I kind of sometimes get in the weeds of explaining things. You know, it comes from years of being involved in the legislative process, understanding the legislative process. Before I came to the legislature in the year 2000, I was the national president of the National Council of Jewish Women. It's a very progressive Jewish women's organization that deals with a lot of the issues that we've been talking about. You know, policy is just a part of me. You know, when I look at what's going on with the Department of Children and Families, for years I've been involved in the child welfare system. I was part of the steering committee that helped create the community-based care agency in Broward County when we moved to a privatization, basically, of child welfare. Because of all of my activism, I guess I kind of have learned the policy aspect of it. And so I bring that along with me, and I think that that's a good thing. But the one thing that people say to me after I get finished speaking, they come up and they say, you know, I learned so much, or you're so substantive. Medicaid expansion. A lot of people had no idea what was really going to happen by not taking that money. And I think my job is, as a candidate and certainly as a governor, is to help educate people about good public policy, at least what I think is good public policy. And that's kind of my trademark, if you will.
Well, as we wrap things up here, I want to point out that as part of our Florida Matters Newsmaker series, we will focus on the candidates for governor up until next year's election. They will get the invite after they have officially announced. And, of course, it's up to them to say yes or no to the invitation. For the moment, though, the only active Democrat in the race is Nan Rich. And the final minutes of today's show is yours.
Well, thank you. Well, I just, you know, feel very strongly that it's been 14 years since a Democratic governor has led the state of Florida. And what I'm hearing all around the state is that people want a new direction and new priorities. And some of the issues that we talked about today are the key issues that people are focusing on. Yes, they focus on jobs and the economy, but connected to that is very strong public education and health care for all people. Also, by the way, just kind of a leadership on the social justice issues. We didn't talk about gay rights, some of the, you know, other really top issues that people are talking about in the state of Florida. And I feel I have the experience, the passion, and the knowledge to do this job. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to continuing this campaign and to being the Democratic nominee for the governor of Florida in 2014. And by the way, being the first woman governor to be the governor of the state of Florida.
Nan Rich, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it.
And that is our show for today. There's more on the race for governor at WUSFnews.org. And we would love to hear from you on the issues on our Facebook page. Our show is produced by Bobby O'Brien and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.